This is the 441st episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter for the AJC, and we're going to discuss the quarterback change to Taylor Heinicke and the Falcons' upcoming opponent, the Indianapolis Colts, who've won five of their last six games and will be coming to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sunday at 1 p.m. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
It was known today that Coach Arthur Smith made the announcement that he is going to switch from Desmond Ridder and go with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback here for the rest of the season. It just became too much to overcome, the turnovers, interceptions, fumbles. You know, he has 10 interceptions, 11 fumbles. Six of them were lost, so that's 16. That's the fifth most turnovers in the league, and he's pretty much sunk the Falcons' season here as they sit at 6-8 and will try to get back into the playoff race here. If Heinicke can get on a heater here and get hot, maybe the Falcons could win here down the stretch. They are 6-8. Their playoff probability is 7%. Now, if they win all three games, that will go up to 70%. But a lot has to happen. Like, they have to beat a winning team here on Sunday. The Colts are 8-6, and the Falcons only have one win over a team with a winning record, and that's the Houston game. The Green Bay win was looking pretty good at one point, but now they have come back to the pack and are also 6-8. But here is Coach Arthur Smith on Monday explaining, you know, kind of the logistics of the decision. He had just left the quarterback room, and I think he had made that decision, but he was waiting to, you know, they could go home and tell their families, and it broke Tuesday morning. But here's Coach Arthur Smith on Monday about the decision at the quarterback position.
Not final, but obviously still working through that, you know, just not with the quarterbacks. Just a minute ago before, you know, obviously, coming in here for my media obligations, and I'll circle back with those guys. But there's some stuff we need to still work through.
Yeah, I think he knew right then he was going with them. But, you know, Taylor came in, and in that Tennessee game, almost rallied them to victory. Lost that against the Vikings here when the defense couldn't contain Joshua Dobbs, and then lost again at Arizona against the Cardinals when the defense couldn't contain Kyler Murray and Trey McBride. He got a concussion in that game, and Ridder came in and nearly rallied the Falcons to victory, but they didn't pull that one out. Then it was the bye week, and they went back to Ridder. So we'll see if Taylor can get them going on Sunday. Here's Coach Arthur Smith on how they'll move forward after the horrible loss to the Carolina Panthers up in Charlotte.
Yeah, no, D-Led, I mean, it's, you know, we've had our opportunity, and that's what's happened the last 8 days, you know, as we go kind of back and forth this season. We had a great opportunity, and unfortunately, we've lost two games in 8 days, and it's been different with chances to go win them, and we didn't get it done. And but there's, you know, and that's on us. So that's not anybody else's fault but our own. But there is still life out there, and that's our job. We have to rally, and we have to prepare. And there's a really good Indianapolis team coming in here, and we need to win this game. And that's been our message.
I mean, you know, they got to do something they haven't done all year. That's beat a good team. They beat Houston. That was early in the season before Houston kind of figured out their stride. But, hey, they're going to push some buttons here and try to get it going against the Colts on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You know, the big issue this year has been closing out games. They've lost four of them on last-ditch drives there. I mentioned Minnesota and Arizona. They also did that against the Bucks, and then last week against the Panthers, let a 17-play, 90-yard drive go down. So here's what Coach Arthur Smith had to say about the issue on closing out games.
And that's part of that shared accountability. I mean, we've got to be better in all phases so to close out games. I mean, yeah, there's going to happen. These games are all close. We know that. But there's also things we can do. You know, that's where turnovers certainly have hurt us, right, in a game that was ugly, ugly conditions, low possession, you know, everything else. Turn the ball over, backed up, they get three, and then, you know, whatever we would have happened there, you never know, third down or field goal or not, essentially points off the board for us, and they go back down and change the whole dynamic of what they have to do to win the game.
All right, here is Arthur Smith on Desmond Ridder's late game interception.
And we all saw it, and like I said, you get in those situations in that type of game, what you're trying to do, and you know that was a look that we had off the big plays to Bijan the week before. Obviously, Hodge wasn't able to get through. Brown kind of blew it up. You know, Des got out of it, and you know that was kind of the theme on some of those keepers. They were essentially going to be one or design runs, and you know, as you're going into this, and this is what I always hate about this, because there is a shared sense, you know, you sure I could have called something different. And then the same thing about with Dez, and you never want to, but when you have that responsibility of the football and knowing the situation, you know, those are critical mistakes, and he'd be the first one to tell you. And there's a lot of good that Dez has done. And again, I don't, blame doesn't all go to him, but that's the same thing with the head coach. There's a responsibility, especially as a quarterback.
All right, yeah, that's the you know, line of questioning after the game where one of the reporters were asking, hey, did you get too conservative? Did you pull the air ball? We thought he should have been extra conservative. He should have ran the ball. He's thinking about it now. He shouldn't have had Desmond Ridder doing a rollout to his left with an option to run or pass. It should have made it an all-run situation. They were in field goal range, and he threw the game away. He didn't. Coach didn't want to be that direct about it, but that's what happened. He threw the game away with that interception. You know, yeah, he didn't have nothing to do with the 17-play, 90-yard drive. But hey, they don't have the ball. They can't come down and kick a field goal for the win in a 7-6 game. You know, get you a 4-point lead there. And you know, don't absolve Bijan Robinson either. He had a fumble that led to a field goal too. So. You know, it wasn't on one person, but the interception was bad. It just continues to happen. Robinson had a fumble that he's had a couple this year. And then the defense can't, you know, they got to get off the field. Can't let him go 17 plays. All right. Done preaching. Let's keep on going here. Here is Coach Arthur Smith on his message to the fans who want him to lose his job.
That's a responsibility. That's my job, right? And that's never lost on me. When you take these jobs, I mean, you're fortunate as hell. You know, you get those. It's really lucky to get to do what you love to do. And you care deeply about, you know, the organization. It's not just about you. It's about the players. It's about everybody that works here. And it is about the fans, because otherwise you wouldn't have this job. And certainly we're not where we want to be. You know, we've lost some close games. But it's not over. And we will die trying to make sure we get this right and just go win this game, and then let's see what happens. But I understand. I mean, that is a responsibility, and it's a burden you carry, and you're not a victim. I mean, you don't ever want to lose that passion and love that you get to go do this job. because it is a privilege. And thankfully, we still have some life. But I understand the frustration. We want to win, and that's your job, is to win.
All right, one of the spectacular plays in the game was the sack by rookie defensive end Zach Harrison. We've been waiting to see him make some plays, and he had a great one. He peeled off of a coverage and closed in on Zach, on Bryce Young, and got him to the ground. Here is Zach talking about discussing the morale of the team here.
I mean, we got a lot of good vets, and like Calais and Jesse and all those guys that told us, you know, like it's the NFL, you know, crazy things happen. So you can either go two ways. You can be like, oh, okay, and tuck your tail and call it a season, or you can, you know, dig our feet in the ground and win these next three games and hopefully we get our hat in the ring and go from there. So it's really just kind of two mindsets that, you know, you can take, and I feel like everybody's locker room is going to take the latter, you know, dig your feet and dig your heels in the ground and go play ball.
All right, there's Zach Harrison, the rookie from Ohio State. You know, Santa Morrell's pretty good. The veterans are showing the way. Now, also, the Falcons got back linebacker Nate Landman. He had missed a game with the ankle injury. Here's our chat with Nate on the state of the team and getting back out there on the field.
Yeah, how was it to get back out there yesterday?
It was great. I mean, I love playing this game, and you know, you prepare all year for those 17 opportunities guaranteed. And so missing one of those is tough. But you know, super happy to get out there with the guys. I love playing with you know, this defense, all my guys on the team, and so it was great to get back out there.
And how tough was the last drive? You all had a good game going, and they were able to get a couple plays there at the end.
Yeah, we just got to be able to finish. And I don't know what it is and what we got to do. We just got to get back to the drawing board. And, you know, when the game's on the line, the defense is out there, that's what we want as a defense. And we just need to bow up and get it done next time. Something we've been struggling with, but like I said, this defense is awesome. Trust, we love the coaches, and so we just got to execute better.
And what's the morale like, you know, after a tough loss like that? You still got three games to go.
Yeah, we, you know, we understand that was a tough loss, and we're not happy about it, obviously. But there's a little bit of, you know, you got to move on, and you know, we got to go 1-0 this week. We're not out of it by any means. We're not in the position we want to be in, but so yeah, we got to lick our wounds on this one, and we're not happy with the result. Obviously, we felt like we gave that one away, but it's time to move on, and you know, we got a good opponent coming in this week.
This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades, an AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents...
Hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny...
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at ajc.com/hip-hop.
All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, and we have an offer for you from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We have a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you subscribe today, you can get 3 months of unlimited digital access for just 99 cents. That's all of our sports coverage, politics, breaking news, investigations, food and dining, and so much more on AJC.com. Plus, you get access to our e-paper and our assortment of newsletters. So join our community by going to subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. Again, that's subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. All right, now we've heard from Coach Smith, Zach Harrison, and Nasty Nate Landman. We've gone over the quarterback change to Taylor Heinicke. It's time to look at the Indianapolis Colts. The tail of the tape is kind of telling. Of course, the turnovers are where jump out. They are +4, while the Falcons are -6. The Falcons takeaways are 7 interceptions, 8 fumble recoveries for 15. And then overall, Heinicke has 1 interception too. So it's 11 interceptions and 10 fumbles. So that's 21 giveaways. And so 6 of those fumbles are Ritter and 10 of the interceptions. So he's got 16 of the 21 giveaways. And that's why he's going to the bench. Probably, well, we don't want to get into forecasts in the future here, but he's on the bench because of turnovers. So, and then the offense here, the Falcons offense is going up again. They got a good matchup against the Colts defense here. The Colts are winning old school style. They're running the ball and some timely passing by Gardner Minshew. But the defense is pretty leaky. They are in the bottom half of the league in everything except passing. So in the Falcons offense, they're in the bottom of the league in everything except running. So we're going to see a lot of running. This game might get over early here. Falcons defense is their numbers look good, but you can't give up. You got to get off the field in the fourth quarter. They are top 10 in passing points and total yards. They're 10th at 311.7, 8th in passing yards, and 8th in points. So at the playoff, the defense is of playoff quality. Now, can they close out the Colts run? That's the big thing. They are giving up 112.2 game, which is 15th. And the Colts are 13th in rushing with 114.7. But last week, they really went after Pittsburgh, and we'll get into that later. That's our tale of the tape breakdown. Falcons have a good matchup against a defense that's not good statistically. And then the Falcons defense should be able to handle Gardner Minshew and the Colts running backs, Trey Sermon from Sprayberry and Tyler Goodson. They're down a couple backs. Zach Moss have been playing really good, and Jonathan Taylor has been out as well. Now here, let's look at the NFC South. See, you know, if the Falcons need some help here. The Bucks and Saints are at 7-7. The Falcons are at 6-8, and the Panthers are 2-12 now with their big win over the Falcons. Now, nobody's going to run away with this thing because it looks like, hey, the Falcons could be right back in first place here if they can somehow upset the Colts, who are road favorites. Because Tampa Bay plays the Jaguars. That's 8-6. And then, but they look hot last week in Green Bay. Baker Mayfield looked like he's figured it out. And, they'll be playing the Jags, who are also reeling a little bit here late in the season. But then the Saints are at the Rams, who are also hot. That's 2-7-7 teams. So if they both lose and the Falcons manage to beat the Colts, they'll all be 7-8 again and tied again with 2 games to go. And the Panthers are at the Packers. They could do everybody a solid also because the Packers are 6-8. They're in that group of 6-8 wild card teams. So you can push them out of the group with a loss. They go to 6-9. So the series history with the Colts. The Colts beat the Steelers last week 30-18. They lead the series with the Falcons 15-2. This will be the 18th meeting. And the Colts have won the last 2 games, 27-24 on September the 22nd, 2009, and then 24-21 on November the 22nd, 2015. That's our series history. Let's look at some of the leaders here on the stat board for the Colts. Zach Moss and Taylor are their leading rushers, but they're going to be out. And so they may be we'll monitor on Taylor and Moss. But what they did last week against the Steelers, they ran Trey Sermon 17 times for 88, 5.2 yards a carry. And Tyler Goodson ran 11 times for 69 yards. He averaged 6.3 a carry. He had a long run of 31 yards. Altogether, they pounded the Steelers 34 times with the run for 170 yards. But no touchdowns against the Steelers. So that's what they're doing with the run game. Gardner Minshew was 18 of 28 for 215. Three touchdowns, zero interceptions, 123.4, his season high passer rating. Overall, he's completing 63.3% of his passes, 2,739 yards, 14 touchdowns, eight interceptions. It should be 16-8, you know, 2-1, but that's pro level quarterback and almost a 2-1 ratio. And his passer rating is 86.2. Now, of course, he took over for Anthony Richardson, former Florida quarterback who was taken fourth overall in the draft. Now, Michael Pittman's in the concussion protocol. He got lit up by former Falcon DeMonte Casey, who later got suspended for this hit and for repeated violations of the defenseless player rule. Hitting to the neck and head area for repeated violations. So Casey's out for the season for the Steelers after he hit Pittman, who's got 1,000 yards receiving and four touchdowns. He's in the concussion protocol, so we will monitor that this week. Now, their next receiver is rookie Josh Dobbs from North Gwinnett High in North Carolina. He has 57 catches for 631 and two touchdowns. And the red zone tight end is Mo Alie-Cox. Mo Alie-Cox has 9 catches, and 3 of them gone for touchdowns. So in the red zone, look for Mo Alie-Cox. Now on defense, the Colts are led by safety Julian Blackmon, who has 4 interceptions. And then Kenny Moore, the second, has 3, of which 2 he's taken back for touchdowns. And punt returner wise, that's Josh Dobbs for them. I didn't see the kickoff returner in the last game because everything was a touchback. And linebacker EJ Speed led the Colts with 10 tackles last week against Pittsburgh. Now, you know, the Colts have been, you know, beat up. Shane Steichen's their coach. He came over from Philly, the OC that put the offense together for Jalen Hurts. They were going to have to do the same thing with Anthony Richardson here, but they're playing more traditional with Gardner Minshew and, you know, running the ball and throwing it. Got some good targets, and they've been able to put some things together. Now, also, they have a good pass rush, 46 sacks. Samson Ekibon with 9.5. Dayengbo. 8, Quiddy Pay, 7.5, and DeForest Buckner, the defensive tackle, he's got 6. And they had 4 in their last game against the Steelers. All right, last page here, last notes for you. The Colts, like a lot of teams, we were able to go through and get our Georgia people on the roster for the Colts. Daryl Baker from Georgia Southern. Isaiah Land, he was inactive last week, went to FAMU and from Grayson High. Josh Downs from UNC and North Gwinnett. Trey Sermon, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Sprayberry High. Isaiah McKenzie from Georgia. And Kenny Moore II from Valdosta and Lowndes High. And Grover Stewart played at Mitchell County in Albany State. Yeah, that's the Colts Georgia contingent. And then also just peeking at their practice squad, former Falcon Darren Hall. He started a lot last year. He ended last year as a starter. He is on the Colts practice squad, cornerback Darren Hall out of San Diego State is with the Indianapolis Colts. So with that, we're going to get on out of here. Hope you got your Christmas shopping done. I got mine done today. Got to get some more, get some little stocking stuffers on Friday, and then I'll be good to go here for Christmas shopping and so forth. So with that, we're going to get on out of here and see if these Falcons could put something together, pull a rabbit out of their hat against the Colts on Sunday. This is a pretty good Colts team coming in here. Winners of 5 of their last 6. Quality veteran quarterbacking. We'll see that backup quarterback battle between Gardner Minshew and Taylor Heineke on Sunday at 1 p.m. at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So with that, we're going to ask you to take care and have a great rest of your week.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving arts scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.